Hello, Brooklyn and the world. Welcome to Ink and Worm, all things reading and writing. I'm your host, Swan. So today we're going to talk a little bit more about the visual aspect of storytelling. And in order to facilitate that, I would love to talk about a commercial, actually, that Mentos put up. And it's there's a lovely little blurb on Huffington Post that says, "We've all been there. You're flirting with someone, maybe blowing them a kiss or two, and then now, out of nowhere, the blown kisses turn catastrophic." The commercial is this couple, and they're hanging out at a doorstop and kind of being a little bit awkward, like it's a first date. We've all been there. And they've had a nice time, and he kisses her cheek, and she kind of gives him a look, pops her Mentos. He puts one in, and then they kind of separate. She goes up the stairs. He turns to look at her, and she blows a kiss. Catches it, and some butterflies come out. It's really adorable. He blows a kiss back. She has some flowers pop out of her hands. She misses with her next kiss, and all of a sudden you see this guy crashing his car because there's a bunny on his face. I don't know if you've ever had that experience blowing kisses. I've definitely had feelings when people blow kisses at me. So thanks for tuning in. I'm Swan again, blowing kisses to you from the basement of the Belo Bike Shop, where I am here with two wonderful artists who I'm so glad you're here. There's always that moment of panic. But, you know, don't panic. Things work out. Thanks for being here. So really quickly, I'm so excited to have you. Nikki is an artist, and I just happened to see her paintings in a coffee shop and was like, I really love the power of your images, and I'd love to talk to you. And so we met and talked about books and writing and about her being on the show. She's a self-taught artist from Queens. Her work has been showcased in various venues in San Francisco and Manhattan, including the Chelsea Hotel. From your website, I love your wording, painting helps me make sense of this world and of myself. My inspiration comes from emotions. I paint to make sense of those feelings that simply cannot be put into words. You also make cakes, but like more than cakes. If you want a cake that looks like it has a branch with cherry blossoms, like not like a figurine of a branch, but like an actual branch, then that's your thing. You make beautiful, realistic cakes that are just kind of breathtaking, and you'd probably don't want to eat them. Yeah. You have your friend here who is an art director, photographer living in Culver City, California.
Yeah.
And you also are involved in advertising and film, as I understand right now. And right now, Brooklyn is lucky to claim you.
Because you've been claiming for a while.
Yeah. So, welcome. How are you guys doing?
Good. Sorry we're a little late.
Oh, alas.
Just honest.
Life. Yeah. It's all good. I was just thinking, like, what will I say? How will I burn time? I can do this. I got it. I'll just talk about my life and books that I've read and things that I'm doing and just, you know, fill the air. But welcome.
Thanks
happy
for having us.
Mimosas.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was going to make some awkward noise.
It's fine.
Great.
I like the noise. And if you're at home listening, grab your favorite beverage and join us for the next hour where we have a great conversation about books and writing and words and stories. So you guys found it okay. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Well, how has your week been?
It was great, actually. We went to the Met last night.
Yeah, the Met was beautiful.
Which is always inspiring.
Yeah.
I'd never been. We went to, like, the Getty Center in Los Angeles last time. Nikki was out there, and I think, like, the Met might win in terms of, like,
better art.
Yeah. It's like a maze of just...
I haven't been yet.
Oh,
you
so
have
amazing.
To check it out.
Yeah.
I recently traveled to Paris where I went to the Louvre.
And oh, wow.
Yeah,
that
that's
was
amazing, too.
Yeah,
I went...
Oh, my gosh.
It was a long time ago, though.
I started walking, and, like, things just, like, start blurring because there's so much, and yet, like, there's still something that will catch your eye. I love the... influence that comes from museum. I was just reading last week a book about, this is an odd tangent, but whatever. I was reading a book about kind of like space clearing and decluttering and feng shui, if you will. I think I was mentioning this book to you. It's called Spark Joy by Marie Kondo. Okay. It's really a wonderful, cute little book. But she talks about how she went into a museum and saw this display of like a closet with like shelves and beautiful like visual impact. And she was like, oh, my ideas aren't new. People have been creating beautiful spaces out of hidden spaces. Because the idea is a closet. No one ever looks inside a closet, but it's still like a part of your house.
Right.
So if your closet is just full of boxes and like things thrown in there, it's like energetically affecting you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you make it this like secret beautiful place, then it's will affect you in a positive way. Anyways.
Yeah.
The influence of museums, I guess, or just connecting with what other people are doing and thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was like the crazy part too, is like the Met had like everything from like ancient Roman stuff to like we were looking at like Jackson Pollock and like Rothko and like I don't know. It's just like kind of this mind blow of like wow, like this all happened at one point. It was I don't know. It was inspiring. It was great.
Go through time with art and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Any particular thing standing out?
I mean, Jackson Pollock's just amazing to look at.
Yeah. I hear.
I don't. Everything is amazing. You know, even like little artifacts that they had.
Oh yeah, no, I was kind of surprised. They had like really cool
ancient Rome, just
so
much
like
details.
Tribal art, and it was seriously. Like, we got there at like 6 o'clock, and then we got kicked out at 9, and it was like, it was just like this maze of like time just flew. I don't know. It was great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I like going to those places alone with just like a notebook and you can just like sit with something.
Yeah.
And I always like seeing like the art classes that are just like hanging out, learning from the greats. It seems like the appropriate venue to take an art class.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Have you ever done that? Like go to a museum and try and like replicate something or?
Yeah. Well, there was a guy sitting on the ground in that statue room just like sketching away and stuff. And you were doing that too. There's like one point where Nikki's mind just like, wandered that way, and I'm like, all right, cool. You have my number. We'll meet up later. She's got to go on your own.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, because people, I think, get connected to different pieces of art, and when you're surrounded by so much, it's just...
Yeah.
You kind of got to
do
go
yourself.
Off on your own. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I love the story of you becoming a painter. You shared a little bit with me. Do you want to kind of just talk about your journey as an artist?
Yeah,
real
sure.
Fast.
I've been always painting. I've been painting my whole life for the most part, but my dad was an artist prior, and I remember him showing me his artwork from when he was younger. I don't know. I think like every child is an artist at one point, and it's just whoever keeps going with it or they find something new to do or whatnot. I just never stopped, so
yeah.
I don't know. It's just been a constant in my life, and I don't know what else I would do really.
I really like for some reason it stuck with me, this idea that your dad was an artist and he would show you some of his stuff, but as far as you, your relationship with him, you never really saw him as a painter. You just saw the things that he painted earlier in his life. So at some point he stopped.
Yeah, I guess, like, after, I'm assuming, like, a little after I was born, he stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was, like, commissioned a piece to do before I was born. And then after that, he just, like, had his own business doing, like, handyman work and stuff like that, but...
Providing for his family,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, like, he was always inspired by it and, like, appreciated art.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I sort of got it from that. It is interesting that years later, like, I was showing my sister a painting that I did, and she was like, that looks like something our father would have done, which I thought was pretty interesting because I don't really remember, like, I don't know how I would have gotten that.
Maybe when you were born, you stole his...
That's definitely
just, like, transferred...
Do you know? Dad, I got this.
Yeah. You're like, I'll take it from here. Do you know Elizabeth Gilbert? It's a pretty common name. She wrote Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, okay.
And she just released a book. But, I mean, I really enjoyed Eat, Pray, Love because of where I was at when I read it. And then it got really big, which made me not want to like it as much as I did. And there's that weird, like, dynamic of, like, you're so popular and you're with Oprah and you're doing all these huge things that makes me not want to, like, be a big fan. But I just read her book, Big Magic, and I was, like, ready to be critical. And it was actually really amazing. But she talks about how she had an idea and she didn't really take action. She kind of started and then put it away. And then a couple years later was talking to another writer who was telling her about her idea. And she's like, that was the book I was going to write.
That's so crazy.
And that I did it. So she talks about ideas being almost like little spirits or entities that are like, will you actualize me? No? Okay, I'll go find an artist or a writer who's going to
make
me
do
real. Yeah. Right. I like that idea. But that they're alive, too. Like, an idea will keep traveling until it finds someone who can channel it, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, random thoughts.
No, that made total sense. Yeah, I feel like you see that a lot. Like, I do more design advertising stuff, and it's like the same thing when you think of something stupid, and you like, we'll be sitting outside or whatever, and like, think of like some dumb idea and write it down, but then not really get around to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Something will come up or whatever, and then you'll see it in a bookstore and be like, oh.
That's my idea.
Yeah. Well, even when we were in the city, that one, I was like, last time you were out here, we saw like a hotel logo that kind of looked that you were doing. I'm like,
crap.
It was something that you were working on.
Yeah, like literally.
It was like so similar.
Yeah, it was so similar and it was so weird. Like, because I had no idea it was a project I'd started in LA.
Oh,
the
cat.
And then we're just walking.
And the cat.
Yeah, she's chilling.
Yeah, maybe if he comes too close, we can push him off. But if he wants to stay in that corner, he's fine.
I think he wants to talk.
Yeah.
He will purr into the mic, and he's a good guy, but he also is a cat, and some people who have shows are allergic to cats, so we're going to send him positive energy and help him get comfortable over there. And while we're talking about random things happening in the studio, could I ask one of you guys to hit the door closed?
Yeah.
Just so we don't get noise from the bike shop. And then we're going to juggle. While she's doing that, do you want to grab her mic and just kind of pull it towards you and angle it?
Yeah.
Because I know this, that when she's talking, she's facing us, which is really nice because then we can see your face, Nikki. But talking into the mic.
I know it doesn't help that I mumble too.
Yeah.
No, it's perfect. Okay. Huzzah. Okay. Huzzah. We're set up. I don't know if I mentioned your name, Brian Binns.
Yeah.
So if you're in the industry of needing an art director who's really talented, Brian Binns, and I'll put links out. So cool. Pause. I have some notes of things happening in my life. I was a little thrown off by the blizzard, and then you kind of have this interaction of like slowing down, and the winter does that to you automatically, and there's a lot of more darkness, and it's easy to feel a little bit melancholic. I was reflecting this past week about how it's really easy to like feel worn down and lonely in the city.
Oh, yeah.
I moved here last April, so I'm still just experiencing all these moods kind of from the perspective of an outsider, and this last week, I just had that experience of, like, the light coming on and feeling like anything is possible. And the city is, like, a magical place. And all is well. And it's been so beautiful and warm out yesterday and today.
Yeah.
Today's ridiculous. Like,
it does not feel like winter.
No, I don't think it is.
It's not really winter. Yeah. So, but I just, I don't know why I was talking about that. I just had the idea of New York City will tear you down and build you up. A lot of people come to the city and I think we were talking about this, like,
yeah.
You either like stick it out and like there's some rough spots, but then like you're here and you almost like earned the right to be here.
Yeah.
Or you get here and it's just madness and you bail.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, you are not ready for the city, or the city wasn't ready for you.
Right.
I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I totally agree. I think the city does break you down. It breaks everyone down because there's so many people around you and you're just surrounded by this chaos, but it's also beautiful. And in a sense, there are moments, I've had so many moments where I've just broken down, like in a crowded subway, like what is happening right now? But then a couple of minutes later, you see something beautiful happen and you're like, okay, like it's going to be all right.
The live music on the subway.
Yeah.
Like some of the best artists I've ever heard are just like, oh yeah, I'm just jamming out here yeah. in the subway with my viola, my friends over there on the saxophone, and yep. we're just like creating this just vibrating music, and you can hear it wherever you go.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that like make your day or break you down when you're like not prepared for. Well, it's mostly like the breakdancing people on the subway. Ooh. When you're like
showtime.
Just like chugging, yeah, showtime. It's like I'm chugging coffee, just trying to get where I'm going.
You're
don't
like,
look at me.
Yeah.
Then some guy's like swinging like 2 feet away from you. Like, oh, I gotta get out of here.
Like, this is like, you're like, you have way too much energy to like be in my peripheral vision
yeah.
or my like you cannot. I don't want to. I have a funny story. Someone told me last night about the subway. He said that. There was a time someone was, like, dancing, and they get on, for you guys who are not in New York, they'll get on the subway, and they'll go from a stop to a stop that's, like, a long stop, so it's not just a couple minutes. So a lot of times the bridges from, like, Manhattan to Brooklyn, because then there's more time for them to dance or whatever.
Right.
He was telling me that this guy was, like, dancing and then, like, calling everyone's attention, because that's what they do, and saying, watch this, and went to do a backflip and, like, face planted.
Oh, my God.
No. And they still had, like, 5 minutes like before the next stop. Just, like, his friend, he's, like, gets up holding his face and is, like, cut the music.
Oh,
and
my
his
God.
Friend's, like, dude, are you okay? And he's, like, no, I just fell on my face. And then everyone on the train's just, like, trying not to just burst from laughter.
Oh,
and
God.
It's awkward. And I just was like, that's great.
That's so amazing. I always wondered if there was any, like, casualties.
Cassidy, I can't even stand on the train without almost falling over.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Swing from poles.
Yeah, I'm always like, I can get up and, like, go stand by the door. My stop's coming up. And then the brakes hit. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, dominoing into people, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, and people are either really nice or really like, fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. God, I'm sorry. Thanks, have a good day.
Okay, bye. Yeah.
This is my stop.
Peace and love.
Yeah. No, it's like funny. One of my favorite comedians is like Marc Maron, and like, obviously, living in LA, we have like our car therapy mm-hmm. kind of thing. And he talks about that, where it's like, instead of like New York subways where you just butted up against everyone, you have like this 45 minutes to yourself every morning, like in your car.
In LA. Kind
of, yeah, in LA.
Yeah.
You're just not moving. And he has like a great like spot on joke about it where it's like you get in your car in the morning, you have your coffee, and you like just work through everything on your own. And there's like no social interaction.
Yeah.
And so by the time you get where you're going, you've like worked out all these problems and like it's totally spot on. But yeah, I don't know. It's different.
It changes. I'm from Utah, and we don't have quite the commuter culture,
right.
But it's still there. And it's so easy for people to be mean and have road rage when they're, like, in the bubble,
of
the safety of their car.
Never going to see you again,
right.
And
yeah.
I can drive. I'm just going to go this way.
I'm curious, you grew up in New York, and you've been here. I'm curious to hear how that's influenced your art and, like, the inspiration you receive from New York.
Huh.
About it.
I don't. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think Brooklyn in general does inspire me a lot because it is so busy and there's so much artwork and artists.
Mm.
You know, to see everybody like hustling through it, it's like
mm-hmm.
I want to make it work and I want to try harder. You know, and I think there's this urgency in New York City at least where it's. You got to get things done, you know, like you got to keep going.
That's the energy.
Get it done.
Yeah.
I grew up in Long Island, and I think when I was there, it was, you have a little more time to breathe, and it's not so much of a push to, like, create work. But I don't know if a city necessarily ever influenced my art. I think emotions influence it more, and that's just where I've been, you know, it's just like talking to the canvas, kind of like my meditation or my road rage or whatever it is, you know, like just letting it all out on a canvas that won't judge me or any, I don't know. It's just,
I feel like Brooklyn definitely like influences your like ambition to get stuff done.
The drive,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like you'll just be walking to a bar and, you know, like I'll relate, I guess, to LA. There's nothing there. Like it's all clean, like brick, stucco, everything, like whatever. And then you're like just walking around Brooklyn and you'll see like this amazing graffiti piece like that's taking up like this huge mural or like anything just on the street. And you go, oh, I should quit. Like someone else is killing it. Like, this just happened and it's just right in front of you all the time.
The sparks are just flying. That's something like you get inspired. And then when you're inspired, like you're inspiring others and then you're more open to being inspired.
Right.
And I feel like there's just so many moments, like access points for that to happen. I mean, you could be in a bookshop and all of a sudden, like, someone says something around the corner and you've never met this person, but just, like, something happens. There's just so many people that these, like, little things happen that are just, like, sparks. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
And then I think the city also has this movement to it. So, like, you're encouraged to, like, act. Like, like what do I have to lose? Or, you know, collaborations happen really fast and...
Well, we were joking about that last night, too, when we were walking back, and, like, that kid jumped in the snowbank, and, like, we, like, shared, like, this weird laugh with this group that we've never met. And
a then group
we
just of strangers.
Kinda, yeah, a group of strangers. We're like, ah! And, like, had this weird moment, and then it passed, and everyone was on their way.
Yeah.
And it's, like, this weird interaction.
These
of, like,
strange, like, connections where you're, like, connected!
Yeah.
And
then
it's, like, eh, cool. I'll go this way. Nice. If you're in front of a computer or you have access, I posted a link to your website.
Thanks.
You have really, there's that emotion you talked about, how you're painting emotion, and that's a lot of what you channel. You can feel that looking at these images. I'm wondering if you have, like, right now, like, maybe a favorite image or piece of work or something that you have been working on recently that's got you really excited.
Oh, man. Well, I am working on this abstract piece right now, which is exciting and frustrating because I usually just, you know, I'll choose an emotion or an idea or a story or whatever it is. you know, I like doing a lot of faces. Female faces are like more sensitive or there's something like fragile about it. But doing this piece, it's huge. It's like 6x9.
Oh, wow.
Which is taller than me. Like, but it's, you know, it's abstract, so I'm just going back to, like, just lines and colors and trying to, like, channel motions that way, which makes you feel kind of crazy because it's just you're making sense out of the simplest form of, you know, like, just color and lines and how can I make this feel right?
It reminds me a little bit of Picasso and where he would try and break things down to their, like, most elemental form almost.
Right.
And so it's like rather than doing a realistic picture of a cow, for say, I'm just going to break it down to, like, three lines and give you the suggestion of a cow and you can, like, feel, like, fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
it's interesting. It also makes me think of, like, maybe there's, like, a less pressure because it, I mean, other than, like, feeling like something is done, it doesn't have to look like anything.
Right.
I feel like that almost adds, like, more pressure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's more because, you know, when I'm painting something realistic or if it's, like, a portrait or whatever it is, I'll know when it's starting to look like that. So I'm like, okay, like,
getting closer.
That's kind of like, you know, the look that I wanted or like this looks like a face or, you know, whatever it is. That's Bill Murray. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I was going to try and find a way to mention you have this incredible portrait of Bill Murray. Was that commissioned or that was just like,
that was just,
I'm just going to draw
Bill
him.
Murray, you know, like I got to.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. I love that one.
Yeah, he's great.
Yes. Do you have like a favorite Bill Murray movie or moment?
Digging
deep.
Yeah, I know.
favorite Bill Murray movie? I don't know.
It's crazy.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
Beatles
song or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to even think of like possibly what was the first thing I saw him in.
I feel like, well, I grew up with like Saturday Night Live culture. Like my parents love Saturday Night Live, and like so that's where kind of all that stuff started. And then Caddyshack, we just watched that. But it was funny. have you seen St. Vincent?
Yes.
St. Vincent was
And it's like, it's funny, ridiculous. But then like you just, at the end, it's like you're not human if you don't cry at this movie.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I try so hard to be like, oh, it's Bill Murray. Let's be funny.
Oh, but he's got that range too where like.
Yeah,
it's
phenomenal.
The ability to connect with human beings, I think. Like from everything I've heard, people that see him are just like blown away by who he is and what he does, and he has all these strange things that he does.
Yeah,
and just like show up at a party or something.
Here. I'm trying to think of an example, but yeah, I just know that like as a person, he's always just Bill Murray. I guess is what you could say, just doing interesting things and being authentic.
Yeah, and I think he like represents himself, so like he just picks what he wants. Like you have to like call him up and be like, hey, do you want to do this? And otherwise he won't take roles or anything like that. And yeah, I don't know, it's just an inspiring like person to be so famous and Hollywood-y, but like not at all.
But doesn't feel that way.
yeah,
he's just it reminds me a little bit of Amanda Palmer, how she talks a lot in her book about lifting that barrier between fan and her, and how, you know, she joined a label and the label had bodyguards that were like, no, like, and she was like, stop, like, let me give them a hug. Yeah. Let me talk to them. Let me sell my merchandise. Like, let me interact because this is why I'm here.
Right.
And there is this tendency to like create barriers, which isolates us from these people we admire because of what they're doing, and isolates them from like feeling connected to their audience.
Yeah. It puts them on like this weird pedestal of like, unattainability, kind of like this isn't a real person anymore. Like this, it's really, really strange.
Yeah,
I agree.
Well, I think even Justin Vernon did that with the All Clares Festival. He said he wanted to change. You know, he like went to so many festivals and he wanted to change the barrier of like audience and self.
Just make it about the music again.
Yeah,
maybe.
Just be a human.
It was very humbling.
Right.
And just a quick like, tell us that story because that has been making me happy all week.
Okay, well, that's cool. I'll let Nikki do that.
Oh man. Okay. So me and Brian met. I went to the All Clares Festival with my good friend Frank and Lindsay. We drove down from Brooklyn to Wisconsin, and I guess by the third night, it was all three of us, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back to the campsite, hang out for a little bit, take some shots, like, whatever. So I did that, and I was like, it's around, like, 6, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, I'll get back on the shuttle bus. And lo and behold, Brian Binns is the only person on the bus chatting away with this old lady bus driver. And I'm just like, what is this guy's deal? And that's it. I guess we started talking and we sort of ditched our friends and hung out the rest of the night.
Yeah, pretty much. That was just like the most random kind of thing. Because I grew up in the town that festival was going on in or whatever. So I flew back and just like, me being me, just like, I'm like, I need all the t-shirts and like posters. I need everything. This is so cool. And I was like on cloud 9 about it. So that's why I went back. But yeah, first time, like, that's why I think it's funny too. You bring up like New York and stuff too. Cause I think that one of the first things, obviously, when you meet someone, it's like, oh, where are you from? What do you do? And Nikki's like, oh, I live in Brooklyn. I'm like, bye. not like, whatever.
I guess that's kind of how
had you been?
Yeah.
To New York?
I came out to New York like 4 years ago, but I was in Manhattan for like a photo shoot and stuff, and it was just overwhelming because like, I don't know, I'd been living in California at the time for like 4 or 5 years, and it's like sunny and pretty, and then you get to Manhattan, it's expensive, there's trash all over the street, I'm like,
buildings,
what is
like,
the
where's
draw?
The sky?
what's happening here?
And where are trees?
Yeah, I think it was winter, and so that just made me crabby about it too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I wasn't a huge fan. New York was kind of a tough sell for me. But yeah, then it was just funny because we like got off the bus and it's like, you want to get a beer? Want to go? I was gonna go watch this thing or whatever. Yeah. Then we just kind of ditched off and
I think we missed like a couple performers we wanted to see too. We're just like,
which was kind of awesome because then you have like all this amazing music just like live surrounding and like
the wandering aspect of music festivals, just similar to New York. Like you just wander around and then like
something happens.
It's like a festival. You just get people together. You lift some boundaries that are in place in the real world. And like all these cool things happen.
I don't know. That was just funny.
Yeah, I mean, if that bus was in New York, I probably wouldn't talk to you.
I don't think you would.
One random guy just talking to this bus driver. No, I'm good.
He's probably schizophrenic. I'm just teasing.
No, it's cool.
I do wonder, there's, like, you know, there's a lot of homeless people, and I wonder, like, how many of them, this is a really serious tangent, how many of them have mental illness that's not being treated? And that's like, you know, there's ability to function in the world with a mental illness. But I read a book that kind of opened my eyes to it. And I also have a friend who had a lot of intrigue with hobo culture. And it's this dynamic of seeing them as human that's I've kind of been really interested in. Like, even if I don't give them money, just like making eye contact and being like, have a good day, or like something, rather than like closing my eyes and like ignoring that. I don't know. Or you like, gosh,
it's so hard.
It's so hard.
Especially in New York, it's so hard.
And you'll pass the same people every day, and you're like,
I think that's part that's like a little heartbreaking. I grew up in the Midwest, and I mean, it gets cold, like -40 style, like this isn't okay. Mm-hmm. And I always remembered like driving under the 94 overpass or whatever, it's like the highway. I'm on my way to work, and it's one of these days where you like start your car like 30 minutes before you get in it. And like you're still
warm up.
Yeah, you warm everything up and like, oh, cool, heated seats, whatever. And then you like feel all great about your day, and then you go past and it's like, oh crap, like that guy's been sleeping outside, like so heartbreaking. And it's why are you here, what's going on? But yeah, so I don't know, when you brought that up, it's just like, it's something that I've thought about for years. It's like, I don't know, like how do you help that?
Well, and just recognizing how blessed you are.
Absolutely.
So if you have just tuned in, this is Ink and Worm. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. We're having some mimosas here, so cheers. If you want to consider buying the radio station a drink, you can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge, and you can, you know, do a one-time pledge of $1. You can do $1 a month for the next year, which is the price of a nice cocktail. It helps us keep Radio Free Brooklyn ad-free and helps shows like Ink and Worm carry on. And we're talking to my guests, Nikki and Brian. And I don't have hot water in my house right now.
Oh, my God.
So I just moved, and my roommate thought that he transferred all the utilities into his name and didn't. And so I didn't shower for about a week when I met you guys. And I was, like, super self-conscious. I was like, oh.
Well, you looked great.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I took a really cold shower yesterday. It's invigorating.
Yeah, I heard it's, I think it's good.
Supposedly,
for you
the whole time I'm just like, not trying not to scream and thinking, like, this is so good for my immune system.
Yeah. What a great wintertime activity.
I'm so grateful for hot water now.
Like, did you get it? So you haven't gotten it back yet?
On the 3rd, which I'm pretty sure is illegal. Like, yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah. So talking about, you know, appreciating things like, you know, noticing people.
Well, when you get it back, you'll have
you don't ever think about hot water coming out until it stops coming out. You're like, wow, I am so blessed.
Right.
My life is really easy. Generally, I worry about a lot of things, but generally, like,
it's the things you worry about that you kind of wonder about. You always make fun of me for that, too. Like, real people problems don't.
Well, because whenever we would talk, like, you know, he'd be in L.A. and I'm in New York. And I think there was one incident on a subway, which.
Oh.
Basically, it was super late. I'm coming back from work, and I just saw this hand motion in my peripheral vision.
No.
This guy's, like, staring at me in the eyes.
Oh!
Yeah, and I was like, okay, I'm done. Like,
wow.
Got off, so and I called him immediately. I'm like, I can't believe this just happened. Like, this is so crazy. You know, like, going off, I'm, like, tired from work. And Brian's response is like, Yeah, I know how you feel. My cleaning lady didn't show up today. This son of a...
Yeah.
It's like exactly the same experience.
It was, yeah. I know. I felt so violated, too.
You're like, we had an agreement.
Yeah, we talked about this.
There's social norms in place.
I've learned to be a little more sensitive after that, I guess.
I mean, yeah, we all have our...
I feel like I've seen articles about that, and I think that and bed bugs are the two things that I'm like...
Yeah.
I don't want this to happen.
New York, I love you, but no.
Knock on wood for that.
Not.
When that happens, you're just like game over. It's like throw out your life, right?
At some point.
Oh, bed bugs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's like the plague.
Thank God,
like,
not even, oh, not the other thing. The other thing, that's a whole.
Even if you like have had them and like got rid of them. But you mention you have them, I'm like, oh, I don't really want to be your friend anymore.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you've had the plague. I'll just avoid. We can be Facebook friends. Do you want to? I'll send you links all the time. I think, I mean, there's this tiniest degree of like almost, I don't know, almost admiration for him though, because like he had no qualms putting his hand down and just like,
oh, God.
I don't care who sees, and I'm just going to creep this girl out. Like,
it was like no shame.
Guy that's just like,
absolutely no
what
shame.
What is his story?
I don't know if I want to know that story.
That'd be a scary story.
Yeah. Please have a mental illness or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, exactly. He's got something going on. He needs to go see a therapist, but he doesn't have, you know, health insurance. Who knows what his story is?
Gosh.
Like, is that... No, I won't... No, never.
No.
Yeah, I don't even...
Yeah,
no, sorry, I went there. My bad.
Another thing I really liked is I was looking, Nikki, at your... I'm kind of focusing. If you want...
Absolutely,
you know,
no.
If you want to self-promote, that's what I'm all about.
No.
My stick is pretty much like, come on my show and self-promote. Like, just come talk about what you're doing because it's cool.
Yeah.
But on your Instagram feed, you have a lot of things that, like, suggest paradoxes. I can give you an example since, you know, I have this computer here.
Do I?
Do it. Your Instagram's so deep.
Whoa.
It's so deep. I have to get
Let's
there
Let's talk
first.
About it.
It's the word things. I'll sorry. I wasn't actually prepared to have this conversation. So people listening, things that I'm referencing is you have this image of this kid going down a slide. And at first his face is like semi-pleasant. And then it's like, and the like title says, this image describes how I feel about sliding into adulthood.
So good.
You have another one that I was laughing at this morning. That's like a picture of kind of a messy bedroom initially. And it says, I've decided that I no longer want to be an adult. If anyone needs me, I'll be in my blanket fort coloring. And then the last one I want to mention is there's just words. I walk around like everything is fine, but deep down inside my shoe, my sock is slipping out. I don't know why, but for me that like suggested these paradoxes of like this playful, like, you know, this artist side that's just like, whoa, whimsical.
I'm
like,
still a child.
Yeah.
And then this other thing of like presenting well, but you're like, but my foot is really uncomfortable. And that's all I can
it's
think about.
Worst.
And I've been nodding my head for the past 20 minutes. I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, or my thing is like imagining things. I walk dogs for a living, so I get to just like have the best life ever. And sometimes when I have to have like adult conversations, I'm just like nodding my head and like, oh, that's really interesting. But like in my brain, I'm just like thinking about like the most random childish thing.
Like, so I'm those just fruity pebbles.
Like, did I have a second serving of fruity pebbles? I'm feeling a sugar rush. I just want to go jump on that trampoline.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know.
Where's the trampoline? Yeah, I think that's like all of us. I think like when we met up for to chat like last week, I think that's why it was so much fun. Is like, you know, I meet with like a lot of clients, or like lawyers or doctors. Like, mm-hmm. like wow. Like my family is actually like a lot of lawyers and doctors.
Wow,
like,
you're so serious.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, what happened? And then like, yeah, you're a lawyer and you're a doctor and like you run a business. And I'm like, I'm just like floating around. I feel like half the time, but that's what makes it like way more fun. It's like going with the flow. a little bit. I guess that's why Nikki paints and I do stuff. Like, I don't know.
Well, talk about your film a little bit.
Well, I do a lot of, like, film work. Like, I've worked with some of my friends. Like, maybe it's, like, an LA-ish thing. Like, I worked on doing, like, graphics for a TV show recently, which was a lot of fun. Got to work with friends on that, too. And it was, like, but a little more straightforward. Other projects that we do have just been fun and weird. I just work with a bunch of our friends that are great actors or actresses or, like, bartenders slash let's all go out on a weekend and, like, make this little short film mm-hmm. thing. And, like, it's been a weird experience. We never, like, it's one of those things you, like, start and have, like, all these ambitions and you, like, go out for a month and, like, do it and then it never kind of gets done. But the finished product is, like, that experience of just doing it a lot of times. Maybe that's not how most filmmakers look. It's just I shoot a lot of stuff. But we tried to do, like, 2 years ago, we did, I helped friends shoot, what was it? It was, like, this script someone had wrote that was called Die, She Devil, Die. And it's, like, this, like, supposed to be this, like, 1970s exploitation film, kind of just, like, way over the top, like, silly but, like, pseudo-serious plot line. And we ended up, like, filming that out in the desert, like, destroyed a car and, like, did all the... It was just...
fun.
Yeah, it was just a lot of fun. You know, at the end of the day, it's, like, you might put in, like, a 14, 16-hour day, but it's, like, you're doing it with all your best friends and, like, had that... That's what I was saying with, like, that experience. So I don't have any... I'm trying to think, like...
And the cliche, I mean... You mentioned when we had dinner the other night, doing what you love never feels like work.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, like, maybe an old man thing to say. Like, that's, like, something you're... My parents used to say that to me all the time. It's like, well, if you love what you do, you're like, you know, the old Bonnie and Larry treatment. But, like, they kind of, like, put that in my head. And I think that's why I really like doing, like, design. And I tried to find a way to keep making art. Because I used to do screen printing a lot and, like, make T-shirts. Mm-hmm. And so I learned, like, Illustrator and, like, how to print and all this stuff. And I did that when I was, like, 13 or 14 mm-hmm. and started that. And I'm like, how do I do this the rest of my life? Like,
yeah.
How do I do this? And so it's mm-hmm. kind of just, like, evolved into, okay, cool. And then took photography classes. Like, how do I do this forever?
Yeah.
And now I'm, like, in my 30s and I'm like, oh, shit.
I'm doing this.
You've been doing this.
Yeah. Someone's going to tap me on the shoulder and be like, you're not 16. Like, what's happening?
Do you know Neil Gaiman?
I don't.
He's a writer. He wrote American Gods, Coraline.
I'm trying
to think of some of his more popular stuff. He talks about even today he has, like, the imposter syndrome. He's like, any day now someone's going to be like,
I know.
You write stories for a living? I'm sorry, you can't do that anymore. He's just like
it's like the most terrifying thought, though, because some days you'll wake up and you'll be all ambitious and be like, oh, I'm really excited to do this, like, we're going to shoot a music video today. Or, like, we're going to do this thing. And it just sounds wild. And you're just waiting for someone to, like, pull the curtain back and be like, you've been punked. Like, this isn't a real thing. You're having too much fun. Like, then I'll just feel all embarrassed. Like, oh,
yeah.
Here's your cubicle. Like, go back. but
That'd be a messed up movie, actually.
Oh, yeah, I would
hate
that.
That'd be really trippy.
Yeah. Let's write that down.
I feel like there was a cartoon that was like that. The Little Prince.
Oh.
France made a cartoon.
Yeah,
a movie
we just talked about that.
I was so depressed. I was like, this is like anti.
And it wasn't, it was a book, actually.
Yeah.
And I was, I don't remember where we were. We were at some store
Rothmans.
In Manhattan. Yeah, we were at Rothmans, and they had like a Petit Prince shirt. And I'm like, oh, that's why I hate French, because I took French for a long time. So I was like,
that's why.
Yeah, that was it. But I took French for a long time. So that was like kind of like the 101. Like,
read this book.
And it's a great story, but when you struggle with the language. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it was originally written in French.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're like struggling with the language, but like love the concept,
yeah,
you feel like an idiot, and you're like, is that what they meant? And
yeah,
I had to like reread it like later, but yeah, it's such a good story, and that's exactly what I'm.
They did an animation of it.
Oh, it's beautiful too.
Have you seen?
Yeah.
They overlapped the story in this beautiful way. Yeah.
I'm like, that's fine. I'll hear
cool.
about it.
Yeah.
So, but they overlapped the story of this prince who's from another planet uh-huh. and is like kind of like a Peter Pan-esque type. Like, anything is possible and I'm learning. Well, Peter Pan's kind of like super devious and awful. So not Peter Pan. Anyways.
He's a cute little, he's just like ambitious little.
He's Sociopath?
Yeah, okay, that too.
So Disney made it really nice and like Peter Pan never grew up, but if you read the original,
you're
talking
about Peter Pan.
Yeah,
I was talking about the
Prince. And yeah, and then I was like, that's not a good comparison. So if you read the original, he's really malicious, Peter Pan.
Yeah.
The little prince is not. He's, you know, learning about relationships and exploring the universe and is, you know, just kind of learning how to be himself, I mm-hmm. guess. I don't know.
No, it's a good way of putting it. Like, I gave Nikki the crappiest Cliff Notes ever. I was like, yeah, it's about like a prince. Like, travels around.
I don't even think you said that. I was like, is it about a little prince?
Oh. It's actually like, about, yeah. It's like, actually okay. about a really big prince. Just kidding.
What? We're just going to blow your mind.
Of the world. Okay, so in the animated film, I'll tell you. So it's this overlapping story of this prince who is on his planet and he has a rose and something happens and he's like, I'm leaving, and like goes and travels and makes new friends. But then he's like, but I miss my rose. And then he comes to our planet and sees all these roses and he's like a little disenchanted. And I don't remember if it's a rose or somebody else, but they're like, but that rose was your rose, which makes that rose special. And so it's kind of like this endearing take on like, there's so many people and there's so much happening, but I'm the only one with these people. And like, I mean, I just emailed a friend this morning just saying like, thank you for changing me. Like, I love that you love me, but I also love that your love has changed who I am.
Yeah. Influenced you or...
In the animation, they overlap that with the story of a girl who's going to like a super rigid prep school, and her mom's like got a whole wall like dedicated to like, here's your life plan. And this little girl's like, maybe I don't want that. And it's like anti-capitalism, anti-machine, anti-corporatism. And so for me, I mean, I never caught on to that like aspect of the story. And so to have it like visually presented to me of like, this is kind of what this book is about, is a like anti, you know, and I was like, huh. So I was like,
oh, it's pretty deep.
Yeah. Well, it's like reading it in French when you're like, like, I'm missing the message.
There's so much that I'm not. I tried to read Harry Potter in Spanish to learn Spanish.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know this story backwards and forwards, but not in Spanish.
Half the words in that book aren't even English.
I know.
Okay, so that's already tricky enough.
It was not a good idea. I wouldn't recommend it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we haven't talked a lot about books, but that is kind of what my show is about, you know, books and writing. We're almost done with an hour, if you can believe it.
What?
Yeah. And I like to end with a rapid fire. And so if something comes to mind, awesome, we can talk about it however long. And if we get through all the questions, then I'll put on music and we'll... Just kidding.
Sick.
Stare at each other. It's very boring. First question, what book have you not gotten around to reading? Like a book that you're like, so oh, I mean to read that. And every time you like see it, you're like, yeah, I keep meaning to read that.
I actually have the Great Gatsby that my sister lent me, and I haven't read it yet. But I've seen the movie, so it's like... I don't know. Like, am I going to think gist. About Leo like while I'm reading it? You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I was talking about that book. Well, this is good. I'll promote Gotham Writers. We were talking about that book in terms of point of view, because it's written by from point of view of neither of the main characters. It's kind of this peripheral character telling the story. The first time he wrote it was in the head of Gatsby, and then Fitzgerald was like, "Wow, he's really." Boring and depressed and like angry, and so he realized like I have to change who's telling the story in order to tell the story, and that's part of the reason why people laud that book, because it's a really hard dynamic to achieve and still like cause that emotional connection to characters. Anyways, I'm taking a fiction writing class with Gotham Writers Workshops, and I'm gonna plug a free workshop. They have creative writing at McNally Jackson next Sunday, the 7th, 6 to 7 p.m. If you feel like writing and you want to write creatively, check it out.
That's awesome.
So, Great Gatsby, do you have a book You have not gotten around to reading?
No. It's like all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We talked about that the other day, too. It's like I always pick up like art books and stuff where I'm not like – I have such a –
There's not a commitment.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like an ADD thing where it's like once I – like I was just thinking when you asked that, I was thinking like Fear and Loathing or something that's like a hyper-visual movie.
Mm.
Again, like I've read the book, but I'd rather revisit something having like a preconceived notion of like how it was visualized now and see how that matches up. But other than that, I always pick up like photo book. I just
we were talking about how a photo can tell a story at a glance.
Yeah.
Yeah, pictures worth a thousand words.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's like it's totally true, and it's like it's kind of this interpretation of like what happened at that moment.
Yeah.
Like Helmut Newton is one of my favorite photographers and does like fashion stuff and just weird. And yeah, it's one of those like
what is going on here?
Black and white for that reason too, because it like strips away the reality, and you're like, what happened in that moment? Like where like. This actually happened, but like when you put something in black and white, it's like it never happened. It was just like this dream moment. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, it does make it dreamy.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Next question.
yeah, moving on.
Do you guys remember a book that your parents read to you? You laugh.
I'm like, well, my mom's El Salvadorian and my dad's Greek, so I don't think they really. Maybe I don't think they ever read a book to me.
I grew up with like the typical kids books, like Where the Wild Things Are and things like that. Yeah, which was great. For some reason, like Teddy Ruxpin popped into my head when it came out. Like, do you ever have one of those?
Uh-uh.
It's like a bear that like you put a tape in and like followed along with the book.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, Google it. They're great. But yeah, it's old school. But yeah, now I grew up with like a lot of like the typical like the caterpillar and. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All that kind of stuff.
Do you have, so for you guys in your respective arts, and like when you're about to do something creative, do you have any rituals or routines that you kind of like correlate with that?
I do a little bit. Like, I think for what I do, it's mostly like making like logos or ads or what, you know, whatever it might be. When I'm trying to do something creative, like I literally, it seems really depressing, but like I eliminate the computer first thing and either like lay in bed or like go to the beach or like, you know, it like looks like I'm slacking off or something, but it's like really
I'm
just
getting ready to work.
Yeah. Mentally. It's like I'm mentally preparing to like come up with or like think of the idea first. And I had a great professor who, when I was in college, kind of taught that lesson of like the computer is a tool. Like if you're making something, you know, just pick up a hammer and start hitting things. Like you make a plan and like you calculate your move.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most underrated advice ever is like just because we have computers and have all these tools doesn't mean like.
Well, and that unstructured time.
Yeah.
Like just like stop trying to do everything and just like take some time to do nothing,
right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It will make everything else you do a little bit more effective.
Yeah, and then when you do have to sit down and like execute, you have a plan and it's so much easier. You could spend 10 hours a day at a computer.
And
or
my thing is I think we live in a culture of ADD. I think like fast like going out and like for me it like just like turning off my phone, turning off the computer and just like being somewhere, like I'll go to the park with my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that calls me into the present moment, and then I'm better able to focus on one thing when I come back into whatever it was I was doing.
I'm glad you said it's like it feels like a weird thing too. I did that yesterday morning. Like I couldn't
just
really
took a moment.
I took a moment. Yeah. I was just sitting in the park, and I was like, "You feel like such a weirdo, though." Like yeah. I felt like someone were gonna
I'm
start
not
putting
doing anything.
Yeah, I thought people were gonna put change in my coffee cup or something. Because like I'm just
like
sitting
the
there.
30 Rock episode where Liz Lemon's like, yeah. "I thought you were."
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, no, I was just trying to chill out. This is weird.
Is there a book that, I think we mentioned this, is there a book that kind of like changed you when you were a teenager? Like something that was almost like a segue from child to adult? Like, oh.
I did, I guess. It was like 1984, like resonated with me because we had to read that and. Like, I don't know. It's like one of my favorite books.
Huh.
But that was my high school. Like,
Tuck Everlasting it was one of those books where the teacher was like, okay, only read to chapter 3.
Or Brave New World.
I finished the book by the end of
Of course you did. Yeah.
Brave New World. I have read that when you're like 1984. I was like, oh, that's heavy. I've tried to start that one. Talk about books that I've been meaning to read.
Both of those.
Full circle.
Yeah, just the
concept dystopian
of
type.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, when you're that age, you're like, everything's great. All I have to do is go to hockey practice. And you're like, oh, shit.
Real life.
Yeah, real life happens.
Well, are there any books that are showcased in your home? Things that are, like, visually, like, on the coffee table or, like, eye level on your bookshelf?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a bunch.
Yeah, you have a lot of books.
Drawing People, Frida, which is, I mean, I love her. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, he got me the Humans of New York book, which is so really cool. Wonderful to flip through. It's, like, super depressing, and then there'll be, like, a picture of a little five-year-old kid, like, I love rocks. And I'm like, yay, me too. Cool.
Nice. Do you guys have anything coming up? Do you have any shows or?
Well, I'm not sure of the date yet, but we will be having a show at Wilson Tea.
Cool.
Here in Bushwick.
Make sure I post anything.
Yeah, I'll let you know when we figure out the date, because I think we're still looking for a band. Yeah. So.
Well, thanks so much for coming, guys.
Yeah,
of course.
And, thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
I will leave you with a word. I'm just going to grab one really fast. Draconian. With me on the hill.